So last 2 weeks ago, I quoted two scriptures at the end of a message, and one of those scriptures was that there is no fear in love, and that the one who fears is not, and the one who does fear is not made perfect in love. And then another scripture in 2 Timothy, I quoted that, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love." And that's all very true. But interestingly enough, if you go through the Bible, especially in the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, it says fear. It says, in fact, the word fear appears over 330 times in the Bible. At the beginning of Proverbs 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So is there a conflict here between what was written in Timothy and John with what is written in Proverbs? And interestingly enough, when you go through the whole book of Proverbs and then you add to it Ecclesiastes, which is also a book of wisdom, and it talks about fear, interestingly enough, it's sort of like bookends at the beginning of Proverbs and ended at the end of Ecclesiastes, all of which is about fear of the Lord and wisdom. It says at the very end in Ecclesiastes 12, the last two verses of that book, it says, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil." Do we have a conflict with 1 John, where it says there is no fear in love? He says, "But love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." And yet here we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 again. It says, "For God, you know, you are to fear God and keep his commandments, for God will bring every deed into judgment." How do these two work with each other? Is this a conflict? Are we being told the same thing? Are we being told the same thing? See, according to Proverbs, when we read that previous scripture, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It is the start. It leads us into wisdom. By revering the Lord with holy awe, if we go and we use that word fear, not a fear of being afraid, but using the word fear to say we are in awe of God. We honor God. We will never grow beyond honoring him and respecting him and revering him. That leads us into wisdom, that kind of fear. The right kind of fear is given to us by God's grace. It's not worldly fear. It is godly fear. Without going through each and every one of them, and there are a lot, I'll just touch on a few of the verses in Proverbs about fear. In Proverbs 3:7, it says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." Get away from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, it says in Proverbs 8:13. Proverbs 9:10 reinforces what it says in Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." It's wisdom and understanding, the right kind of fear. It's striving and wanting to have that wisdom and understanding. We'll never have the amount of wisdom that God has. He is the Creator. His wisdom is far above and beyond anything we can comprehend. But he tells us to, with reverence and with awe, revere him and it will lead us to wisdom. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress in their children, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. Ooh, there's a clue. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and then humility comes. And in Proverbs 19, it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. The fear is sort of putting yourself before God and revering him and holding him in awe and thanking him for what he and his son, our Savior, has done. And as mentioned in the prayers today, it is through the Holy Spirit that gives us that desire. It's through the Holy Spirit that leads us to this right kind of fear. In Ecclesiastes, it starts talking about fear as well. Very early in the book, it says, fear God because his work is eternal. Fear him because his work is eternal. It's forever. The heavens and the earth, the heavens have been created for eternity and for us. He demands, however, holy worship. It says, fear God in times of adversity as well as in prosperity. You know, it's so easy when things are going well to forget to fear God. Oh, life's pretty good today. Oof, I'm okay. No trials. Everything's all okay. Everything's great. Pretty easy to forget prayer. Pretty easy not to read scripture today. Not to be in communication with our Lord and Savior. But Ecclesiastes says, fear God in times of adversity, which that's pretty easy to do when times are tough. But he also says, fear God as well as in times of prosperity. He also promises that if you fear God, it will go well with you. But here's something that's really important. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, feared God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ feared God? In the book of Isaiah, it's very clear. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. Isn't that interesting? Wisdom and understanding as it was written at the beginning of Proverbs. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Jesus Christ had the fear, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And he asks us, and God asks us, to have the fear of the Lord. So how does this all work together? When we realize that when Jesus Christ had that respectful relationship between himself and his Father, that it reminds us that this is a godly fear, not a human fear of being afraid and frightened. That it's not a dread or a terror, but a proper and worshipful fear. It's a fear for all who have God in them, and that is, it is a fear that brings wisdom and power and holiness and mercy and love. That's what this kind of fear brings. So as we have read, again, I'll go back to Ecclesiastes 12. It says in the first part, it says, now all has been heard, all these things about wisdom and fear and understanding and knowledge, and all of this has been heard. And we come to the very end, and what does it say? It says, fear God and keep his commandments. Why? Because it's the duty. It is the duty of all. And by the way, I want to emphasize this word, all mankind. Everyone. For God will bring every deed And here is the link to those scriptures in the New Testament. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it's good or evil. See, this is a verse that's warning us. It says, everything, every action, every word, every deed will one day be judged by God. So when we read in Timothy, it says, you do not have to fear God because love overcomes fear. How? What love is that? That's the love that Jesus Christ and the love God gave to us to eliminate that fear of what? It's the fear of judgment, because we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. In Romans 2, 16, it says, this will take place, this judgment. This will take place on the day when God judges people's, what? Secrets. And through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. It's the warning in Ecclesiastes. It's the reminder in 1 John 5 and in 2 Timothy. And this is basically what Paul wrote to the Romans. So what do we determine from this? If you've come to Christ in faith and you're willing to live in dependence upon his wisdom, his provision, his grace, then this verse should be a verse of comfort. It's a comfort that all will come, that all who do come in front of Christ on that very last day, then the scales of justice will favor those who have the Holy Spirit, and the penalty has been paid. And on that day, the day when we come before our Savior, he will vindicate those already declared righteous by him. He will condemn the wicked, those who have rejected, those who have turned their back, those who have, he will know every deed, including every secret thing that they may have done. And it'll all be taken into account. All of it. You know, in Matthew, I'm sure you're familiar, in the book of Matthew, where Jesus describes the sheep and the goats. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne, and there'll be the sheep and the goats. And what does he say will happen? The goats will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Wow, what a message. Because he said, you see, it's very clear, whether we like it or not, all will appear. Remember, the duty of all mankind? All will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what? Will receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Oops. Sheep? Goat? Eternal damnation or eternal life? Very simple. Very, very simple here. You know, it's hard. In both Ecclesiastes, by Jesus Christ in his example of the sheep and the goats, in this scripture that is written by Paul, we're told to fear God and to obey him, because one day we will stand before him in judgment. We will stand before him in judgment. So then when we look at this, though, you know, when we look at the duty of mankind, this duty is a much wider point. It is the whole of man. It's the all of us. This is all there is to man. This is our total duty. Our total duty, okay, is to obey God. To love God the Father with all our heart and soul and mind and being. To love our neighbor as ourselves and all that that means. So this is what life is all about. This is what life is all about. The most important thing for a person to do is to worship God and obey his holy commandments. Worship and obey. This is more than just a simple man's duty. It's not easy, is it? Whether we're ready to come before God now and admit and recognize who he is and what he's done and what Jesus Christ has done for us and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, or whether we are just going to hope to avoid it, which some do, the truth is that one day everyone will stand before the God of judgment. Everyone. And you know what's interesting? He will bring light, as it says, hidden in darkness, and will disclose. What will he disclose? Not just the things that we've done and said, but what's in our hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He'll bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and he'll expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. You know, if there's no God and there's no final judgment, then it's pretty hard to see how, if anything, really does matter in life, right? But if there is a God, if there is a God who will judge the world, then absolutely everything matters. You know, this is just not all that there is. You know, there is the God in heaven who rules the world. There's the life to come after this life. One day the dead will be raised, and every person who has ever lived will stand before God to judgment. And when that day comes, it will be revealed that everything anyone has ever did or said or thought will have had some kind of significance. How we live our lives matters. That's the message. It is the duty of man. What matters most of all is the personal decision that each person makes about Jesus Christ. Amen. That is what matters the most. You know, Ecclesiastes was written before Christ came to this earth. But Ecclesiastes points us to the gospel. It points us to the gospel. If it is true that God will bring everything, all that matters, to judgment, then it's desperately important for us to make sure that we, those of us here, all those who are in the body of Christ, all those who are being called, that they will be found righteous on that momentous day, that awesome day of judgment. We want to be found righteous because that way we have eternal life. Christ has shed his blood. That is the fear of the Lord. That is the fear of the Lord. The only way to entrust our lives to Christ, who alone has the power to save us from the wrath of God, is to fear him with the right kind of reverence and to make that decision for Christ. Otherwise, Christ died in futility. He took the judgment that we deserve by dying on the cross. His body was returned to the dust, and the third day he rose again, bringing light out of the grave, life out of the grave. And soon we pray for that he will come again. And when that day comes, everyone who believes in Christ will stand before the righteous judge and look into the eyes of a loving Savior. Praise God. There's a Baptist minister from Aberdeen in Scotland who wrote this saying. He said, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." Oh, how true when you think about that. This is God telling us how to handle our fears, because we can't do it on our own. The only thing we have to fear is God himself. When we're troubled, when we're tired, when we're afraid, when we're depressed, when we go to God and we accept Jesus Christ, and he brings us that internal peace and comfort. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we're out handling our fears all by ourselves. And boy, has man ever made a mess of that. So what's the choice? Man's fear or godly's fear, or godly fear? Which way? Which way do you want to go? If you've accepted Christ, as it says, there's no fear in judgment. If we've accepted Christ, then we have the fear of awe and respect and reverence. We fear God to honor and revere him and to worship him. I found it really interesting that, and he did this after I'd prepared most of this message. Peter Tatro says, I'm picking for my worship service today, Psalm 27, verses 1 to 5. And what does it start? It says, the Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? That sums it up. If we go to 1 John, I apologize, I've added a few scriptures here that came to me this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I'll go to last scriptures, Psalm 145. David understood this. David understood this so much. Psalm 145, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Well, there's a promise. Okay. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them. Oh boy. That fear. It matters. It's your life. It matters. Great God. You know, I really have a hard time because people say, oh, he's a wrathful God. You've got to fear God. You've got to be afraid. No, that's not the fear he wants you to have. He wants you to have the fear of awe and respect and worship and love, and knowing that when you're in front of him on that day of judgment, you're free. Your eternal life. Your penalty is paid for. There is no suffering. There is nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. So, great God, we come before you humbly this morning. Help us to fear you in the way you intend. Help us to understand what you mean when you tell us to fear you, because when you say fear the Lord, because look at all the benefits that we receive. We have no reason to fear anything else. Nothing. What can man do to us? Absolutely nothing if we fear you. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can come before your throne as you sit at the right-hand side of God the Father. And we can say we have no fear because fear is punishment and you've given us love. Help us to share that love and bring that love and show that love, that we have no fear of mankind, but we have the right kind of fear for our Father in heaven. We place our lives into your hands and we thank you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy, righteous name. Amen. Sing Psalm number 366.